Here's what I need you to do. Whatever platform you listen to this show on, go leave a rating and review of the show. Right now, leave a 5-star rating and review the show. Tell people what you think about it. Tell people the value you're getting. You take care of that business. I'm going to get into this episode, and I'll meet you in the middle. Let's do it.
Stayolday.com.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively, with that aggression, with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
Wouldn't it be great to be so personally driven that you inspired other people to action, even when you weren't that motivated on your own? You can do so by reading my book, The Mirror of Motivation. I've already purchased a bunch of copies that I'm going to give away for free to you, shipping them worldwide. All I need you to do is go to workonmygame.com/motivation and tell me where to ship the book. Again, that's my book, The Mirror of Motivation, The Self-Guide to Self-Discipline. I am shipping free physical copies worldwide. I paid for the book already. You take care of the shipping. Tell me where to ship it. Go to workonmygame.com/motivation. Tell us where to send your book, and I'm sending you one now. Available while supplies last. That's workonmygame.com/motivation. Congratulate yourself for tuning in to the best show in the media world. This is the show where you learn the discipline to show up day after day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there, even when the success you have expected to achieve has yet to be achieved. And on top of all this, you get a huge dose of personal initiative. This is the go-getter energy that moves me, you, and anyone else in the world to make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen. You know that feeling. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? When we put all this together, what you get is the mindset, the method, the podcast, the book known as Work On Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day. Welcome to the show. Today's topic. Today we're talking some basic skills, which may or may not be basic for you, that would separate you from the average masses. Now, I'm calling these basic skills because these are things that, even if they're not basic for you today, I strongly recommend that they become basic for you moving forward as quickly as possible, because we know time is of the essence. These are skills that will benefit you no matter what you do. Well, no matter what you choose to do in life, whether you play something for a living, you teach for a living, you sell, you create, you're a parent, you're a politician, you're an architect, you're a retail manager, you're a janitor, anything you want to do in life, these skills will help you be better. And I'm going to explain, of course, I'm going to tell you what each skill is, explain what I mean by each skill, and explain why these skills will make you better for life. So I want you to check yourself. How many we have here? 1, 2, 3, 4 specific skills that I'm going to give you here today. You need to check yourself for these skills. If you do not have any of these, then you need to get to work on them ASAP. And I tell you, one place you can get started on getting better at all of these is the Game Group membership. If you're not already a member of the Game Group, that's at DreAllDay.com/membership. I'll be going deep into any of these if I haven't already, and I'll be going deeper into these moving into the future. And if you have any questions about any of these, something that has not yet been addressed, or you're not sure has been addressed, or you're looking for it but you can't find it, if you're a Game Group member, I will help you out with that. Just ask the question, post it in the forum at DreAllDay.com/forum. That forum is for Game Group members only, just in case you are wondering. And anyway, let's get into these points so you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Again, the topic is some basic skills that, should you have these, just at an adequate level, you don't have to be amazing, just adequate, these will separate you from the average masses. Point number one, public speaking. This is an important one. Now, I want you to understand what I mean when I say public. Public means talking to more than one person at a time. That's all public is. Public is not giving a speech at a graduation ceremony. Public speaking does not mean you have to be give a keynote address at a big business conference. You can if you want to. Public speaking does not mean you have to have a podcast and put it out every day with brand new content that's of high quality and high value. Like, I don't know if there's anybody else who could do that besides me. Tongue in cheek, but I'm not joking. Public speaking means talking to more than one person at a time. And the reason why public speaking is such an important, basic but important skill that will separate you from everybody else, because your ability to speak in public, meaning to more than one person at a time, in a confident, controlled, and know, getting your point across manner, coherent matter, it communicates confidence when a person can speak in public. And when you can communicate confidence without having to say, hey, I'm confident, what it does is changes how people address you. Any of you who maybe at some point in your adult life, you were not very good at public speaking, but then you got better at it. You became more comfortable with speaking in public. You can testify to how the way people perceived you and the way they responded to you changed. It changed viscerally when they noticed your ability to speak in public, because being able to speak in public, again, it conveys a high level of confidence. The reason why is because so many people are not good at it. So many people are so uncomfortable speaking in public, speaking to more than one person at a time, because that can be intimidating. You walk into a room and there are five people sitting there all waiting to hear you say what you had to say. That can be intimidating, especially if you're not very comfortable with your material, whatever you're about to say, or whatever questions they ask you, or whatever you're talking about, or who you are, or how you look, or how you're going to deal with being challenged, whatever the situation may be. That can be very intimidating to people. So when you walk into a room of five people or 50 or 1,000 people, and then you say what you have to say confidently, and you get it across clearly, and it makes sense what you're saying, even if people disagree with it, they will treat you differently than the person who was uncomfortable, who couldn't really get across their points, who were stammering across their words, who were forgetting what they were going to say because they were uncomfortable. They'll treat you differently just because you displayed so much confidence, even if they completely disagree with every single word that you said. Public speaking communicates confidence, and it changes how people address you, because when you communicate yourself confidently, and I maybe never heard that phrase. Excuse me, let me say that again. Maybe never even heard that phrase. When you communicate yourself confidently, meaning the way that you walk, the way that you talk, the look in your eyes, the way that you address people, those are all communications of yourself. When you communicate yourself confidently, people have no choice, because we judge based off surface observations. We judge books by their cover. We have no choice but to treat you like you're confident, because that's all we got to go off of. Also, speaking in public forces you to do something that a lot of people also fail to do in most of their everyday lives. And that's this: organize your thoughts and ideas, because when you're speaking in public, people have to understand you. And it's much harder to speak to a group of people than it is to speak to one person. If I'm speaking to one person and I misspeak, or the person doesn't quite understand me, they can interrupt me and say so, or I can interrupt myself and say so and repeat what I said and say it over and make sure that person understands it, that one person who I'm talking to. When I'm talking to a room of 1,000 people, I have to make sure everybody understands it, which means I have to simplify my language. Maybe I can't use too much jargon. Maybe I got to make sure this is very clear to a person who's never heard anything that I'm talking about before. Maybe that's part of my practice. Public speaking forces you to better organize your thoughts and ideas, because people have to understand you. And the larger the room, the more simple your, at least the more understandable, rather, let's use that word, more understandable your communication needs to be. The more clear you have to be, because there are more people who could possibly be confused. People don't understand what you're saying, then they can't appreciate it. They can't respect it. They can't do anything with it. They don't understand it. So this podcast, for example, is public speaking. Having a podcast is public speaking. Being on a YouTube channel is public speaking. Now, some people look at it and say, well, it's different when you're speaking in a mic in an empty room than you got to stand in front of 1,000 people. To me, it's not different, but they're absolutely right. Some people are great on camera in a YouTube video when they're at home by themselves and they know there's 1 million people watching, but then you put them in front of a room of 1 million people, they don't have that same confidence. Now, again, I don't have that issue, but some people may. That's why public speaking is a skill that you must develop, which is why, what can you do about this? If you want to get your public speaking skills up, go to a volunteer organization such as a Toastmasters or a Rotary Club, where it'll be a group of people, maybe a small group, could be 10 people, could be 100, but you can address the room. You can volunteer to address the room, speak, say whatever it is you want to talk about, and get comfortable being uncomfortable, which is what they used to say at Toastmasters when I was a member back in, it was about 2014. Getting comfortable being uncomfortable, getting comfortable standing in front of a room and saying your piece, whatever that piece may be, anything that you want to talk about. This skill of public speaking, again, very important, because it helps sharpen your communication skill, which is the way that people understand you. People don't understand you because you can't communicate with them. You can never get your point across. If you can't get your point across to people, you can't sell them on anything. A product, a service, an idea, following along with you, getting out of your way, cooperation. You can't sell people on anything if you cannot communicate to them. And if you can only communicate with one person at a time, it'll take you a whole lot of time to get a bunch of people on your side. If you can communicate with 1,000 people at a time, or 100 people at a time, or even 10 people at a time, your efforts multiply. Because one of those 10 people could hear you, understand you, like you, perceive you as confident, and they'll go and become your evangelist. They'll start spreading your message for you just because they like you so much. You don't have to talk to the 10 people that they know because they'll do it for you. And it's much better coming from them than it is coming from you, because those 10 people that they know don't know you, but they know that person. So that's why the skill of public speaking multiplies your efforts. It's a force multiplier, like we talked about a couple days ago on the show. Public speaking. If you do not have public speaking skills, go get some. Point number two. Today's topic is some basic skills that will separate you from the average masses. Addressing situations head on. This is point number two. Now, I thought that until actually recently, like this year, I used to think that people were afraid of confrontation. People were afraid of direct what might become conflict. But I realized something. People are not afraid of confrontation. Here's what people actually are afraid of. They're afraid of the feeling of possible confrontation. This is why so many people avoid or ignore things that are bothering them. Avoid or ignore things that look like they could become issues down the line. Avoid or ignore things that they know need to be addressed, and just hope that those things go away. The reason people avoid them is because they don't like the feeling, the emotions that get stirred up when you know that a confrontation is possible. Not even that it happened, but it's possible to happen. Meaning, this is why we don't confront people. This is why we don't say something when something's bothering us. This is why we allow petty annoyances to continue for an extended period of time. Don't say anything. Hope that it goes away. And then we come to normalize it. We let it just become a normal part of our lives because we rather that than address the situation and let it possibly lead to something that makes us more uncomfortable, which is the possibility of conflict and confrontation. The willingness to address things, ladies and gentlemen, this is the skill that I'm talking about. This is a discipline more than anything else. It's not about being a tough guy or a tough girl. It's not about being an asshole. It's not about not about arguing with anybody. It's not about getting in a fist fight with anybody. It's not about any of that. It's a discipline first, and we know that discipline breeds confidence. If you haven't gotten the free audio course on, I wouldn't even call it a course, a free audio lecture that I did, that is called Discipline Creates Confidence. That's at dreallday.com/DCC for Discipline Creates Confidence. Every time you address something head on, something that is an issue, something that looks like it could be an issue, something that has been an issue, but nobody said anything. Every time you do that, you become more comfortable than the last time, to the point that it becomes a normal thing for you to address situations as a discipline, as a normal way of being, just off of general principle. You just do it because that's who you are. And as this discipline breeds more and more confidence in you, you know what you also get better at? Public speaking. You get better at addressing people. See, public speaking, again, I told you, means speaking to more than one person, but you could also call public speaking a wing of public speaking is addressing somebody who you're not sure how they're going to respond to you. And that could be a very nerve-wracking situation. Any of you who's done any public speaking, you step into a room at a conference or any type of event where people don't really know you, like they didn't know you before you came there. You just got announced like this person's going to be the speaker. This person's going to talk about this thing, or this person's here to talk about this or sell this idea or tell us about this. And nobody in that room knows you. All right, you have no idea what they're thinking. Some of them may be hostile towards you. Some of them may not even want to hear what you have to say. Some of them been there all day and they just want to get the hell out of there and they hope you'll be quick and get it over with. That's a hostile situation, or at least you could see it as a hostile situation. The better you are at addressing things head on that could become hostile, just the possibility of being hostile, the less concerned you'll be and the less anxious you'll feel, the less anxiety you'll feel when you have to address an audience of people where you have no idea what they think about you. Now, that's a whole different audience if, let's say, you have your own event and people buy tickets to come to your event. Now you know that they already invested money in you. They're a fan of you already. So you could be just okay and they're going to, most of them will let it go because they're a fan of you already. But what if you go somewhere where nobody knows you? You had to talk your way into the room in the first place, and now you got to prove yourself. And you know everybody in there is like 50-50. Like, all right, say what the hell you got to say. We're going to judge if you're good or not. The better you are at addressing situations head on that could lead to that type of energy, the much more easy it will be for you to address things or to say your piece or do your thing or give your performance when you step into a room of people who you know are thinking that way because they have no idea who the hell you are and maybe they don't even want to listen to you in the first place. Willingness to address things is a discipline, people. Discipline breeds confidence. And confidence leads to a whole lot of other things. Point number three. Today's topic is going over some basic skills that would and will, once you develop them, separate you from the average masses. Or if you already have them, if you start using them more often, will separate you from the average masses. That's another thing I should have said at the top. Point number three, being clear about what you want. This is a skill. Is a communication skill, being clear about what you want. This is a cousin of point number two, which is addressing situations head on. Often in life, we are indirect about what we want or how we want things. We don't say exactly what we want. We kind of allude to things. We hope that people kind of get the point or can read between the lines or see between the things that we're not saying. And we hope that they can get it. We hope that they can read our hints. We hope that they can read the signals that we're giving them. Then this is what happens. Often this is what happens. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they pick up on it. They get it and they do what we want, right? But there are other times when people don't pick up on the signals. They don't notice what we're not saying. They don't read between the lines. And then things turn out in a way that we didn't want them to be. And then what happens to us? We get upset. We're pissed off. We're disappointed because the people didn't pick up on our signals. But here's the thing. We're responsible for that because we never said exactly what we wanted. See, when you're dealing with somebody and you're not quite sure they're understanding what you're trying to tell them, you're not quite sure, and it's important that they understand it, and you don't say anything, and then things don't go right, whose fault is that? It's not their fault for not reading your unwritten language. It's your fault for not making it clear. What do you expect? If you're not clear what you want and then you don't get what you want, who do you have to be mad at? Now, while there is a time in life where we can be more romantic, for lack of a better term, when we can be indirect, where we can deal with people who can read in between the lines. And there is a skill of reading in between the lines of what people don't say. Being direct is also a tool that's nice to have in your toolbox. Again, maybe you don't need to use it all the time, but it's nice to have the tool in your toolbox just in case you need it. Because every once in a while, you're going to run into somebody who's illiterate when it comes to reading in between the lines, if you understand what I'm saying. Not everybody has that. Not everybody speaks that language of picking up on the things that you're not saying. Sometimes you got to be clear and let people know exactly what you are saying. Because if you don't, they're not going to notice and they're not going to pick up on anything. And now you're pissed off, but it's your fault. Being direct is a tool that is nice to have, it for no other reason, because many people don't have it. There's another reason that why it's good to have this tool of being clear on what you want. A lot of people don't have the skill of being clear on what they want. A lot of people are apprehensive about being clear and direct about wanting things because it can be off-putting to some people. It can put some people on their heels. It can make some people uncomfortable. It can definitely make people uncomfortable when you're very clear and direct about what you want or what you're doing or what it is. And this could lead to conflict, or it actually leads to the idea of possible conflict. And most people, when they start to sense that a possible conflict is on the horizon, they back up. They get on their heels. They don't say what they want to say. They don't do what they want to do. And they just convince themselves. We rationalize with ourselves that it's okay to have this less than ideal circumstance because I'd rather that than deal with the possibility of this discomfort that will come from conflict. That's what most of us do. If for no other reason you want this skill of being clear about what you want and your ability to address things head on, this is points number three and number two. Because most people don't have it, and they fear, even those who do have it, they fear using it. So they might as well not even have it because they're afraid of ever using this skill, and you can use it against them. You can use this skill against people to get what you want. Now, I'm not telling you use it against people in a malicious way or in a destructive way where you are violating other people's rights or anything like that. I'm saying you could use it against other people in a more of a Machiavellian type of way, where you're not hurting anyone, you're not violating anyone. But there are times in life, we got to be honest, where we just want things. There are things that we need. There are things that need to get done. And we don't always have time to be nice, to be friendly, to be compromising, to, you know, try to act like we're getting along with everybody. Sometimes shit just needs to get done. Actually, a lot of times things just need to get done. The more willing you are to use this skill, the more it'll start working for you. And the more often you use it, you may start to develop somewhat of a reputation for this skill. And we know what they say about reputations. They precede us. Therefore, your use of this skill, rather your willingness to use this skill, will start working on your behalf to where you don't even need to use it so often. It'll be working on in your favor and you don't even have to say a word. How would that feel? You'll start getting what you want more easily with less work. Point number four, today's topic is some basic skills that will help you in the long run should you develop or actually start using these skills if you already have them. It will separate you from the average masses out there. This is skill number four, asking better questions. Now, we've been talking about insight in so many episodes of this show recently. And this one is about, this asking better questions is huge for the purpose-seeking individual. And I think all of us are purpose-seeking. Maybe you already found your purpose, but you continue to look for maybe more purposes to support it. Or the business-minded individual, and we're all in business in one way or another. Or anyone who feels lost right now in your life or in your work. You're not quite sure what you're supposed to be doing, what you are doing, where you're going, what would make sense, what doesn't make sense. You have a little bit of lostness right now. This is huge for all of those people. Understand the starting point of getting yourself found when you feel lost is to ask yourself some better questions. Why is that? Because the questions determine the answers. So if you're asking the wrong question, it doesn't matter what answers you come up with. And this is what I've been talking about when I talk about insight. The wrong question does not matter if you have all the right answers if the questions are incorrect. This will lead to the wrong destination because you're going to act on those answers. Asking better questions, people, requires insight, meaning understanding of a specific cause and effect within a specific context. In other words, it's not a black and white, color by numbers, do this, then that happens. That's not how it works. If that's how it worked, insight wouldn't be as valuable as it is. Insight's as valuable as it is because most people are not willing to invest the time and energy into the thinking required for insight to occur. I'm going to say that one more time. Insight is what it is. It's as elusive as it is to many human beings because most people are not willing to invest the time and effort required to allow insight to occur. Notice, I didn't say make insight happen. Allow insight to occur. You can't force insight. You can't force yourself to be insightful. To get insight, you need to think differently than most people think. Think differently than you probably were taught to think. Think differently than what you learned in school. Think differently than what you learn from most of the people you listen to online or read books from or articles or blog posts or tweets or Instagram captions. Insight is a whole different level of thinking. Like we talked about going from the 1X to the 10X. That requires some space. Thinking is what goes in that space. Most people are not willing to do that. Not because they can't, because it's uncomfortable. It takes them out of their comfort zone of what they've been doing, especially if it's been working well enough for you that you're in that good enough space. That's the no man's land. That's the worst place to be. Because if you are doing terribly, then you're willing to make changes. All right, you don't have to be convinced. But things are going good enough, then that's the worst space because you might stay there forever because it's comfortable. And we all know what they say about the comfort zone. They say a lot of things. None of them good. Many people just don't have insight in their lives because they've never given themselves a space. They just have a bunch of random information that does not apply to their specific context, doesn't apply snugly enough to this specific context, but it may apply well enough that they do well enough and they get good enough results, which deludes them into staying where they are. Only when it's too late do they realize, man, I should have asked myself some better questions. Often they never even come to this realization. They just say, damn, I just did. This is all I got. This is all that results from this. Asking yourself better questions requires insight. Thinking on a different axis. Definition of insight, I just said, is understanding of a specific cause and effect within a specific context. You may not have too much insight into what you're doing. This is where you collaborate with other people. This is where you listen to other people. But you got to choose wisely who you're listening to. And choose wisely who you're collaborating with. Right, choose somebody who even talks about, who even uses the phrase insight and gives you the definition of it and talks a little bit deeply about what it means and why it is what it is and what it separates it from just regular logical point A, point B, point C thinking. How many people do you know of who've ever done that? Exactly. Asking yourself better questions is a skill that can take the same skills, same abilities, same talents you have right now and lead you to changing your target. What did we talk about in yesterday's episode? Nothing wrong with the aim. Just got to change the target. That can change everything for you. But you got to have the insight to do it. Not just keep plugging away and working hard and efforting towards something that's obviously not producing a result. But you're thinking, if I just do it one more day, just one more month, just one more year, then it'll work. All right. Hey, I'm not here to tell you what to do with your life. I'm just here to offer you some seeds. You can plant, nurture, and water the seeds, or you can choose not to. But don't say you were never given the option. Let's recap today's topic, which is some basic skills that will separate you from the average masses. These are skills that will benefit you no matter what you do. And they'll separate you from the average masses because most people, these skills, first of all, never occur to them. And secondly, even if they knew about it, they won't do anything with it. And probably talking about somebody listening to this right now. Point number one, public speaking. Means talking to more than one person at a time. Talking to a person who may be hostile towards you. Talking to a person who has no idea who you are and wasn't even expecting to listen to you, but they're going to give you a moment to say what you got to say. Do you have the confidence to communicate with that person? Forces you. First of all, it communicates confidence when you're good at it, which in turn causes people to address you as a more confident individual because that's all they can go off of, what they see on the surface. We do not judge people by the content of their character because we ain't got time to know the content of your character. We judge you by the packaging we see on the surface. Public speaking also forces you to better organize your thoughts and ideas because you have to make sure people understand you. And the larger your audience when you're public speaking, the more clear your message needs to be because there are more people who you could possibly confuse. And when you confuse somebody, it's impossible to persuade them. Point number two, addressing situations head on. I thought people were afraid of confrontation. Nobody's afraid of confrontation. People are afraid of the feeling of possible confrontation. Therefore, we avoid anything that could lead to confrontation. So we end up settling for mediocrity in our lives because in order to change from mediocrity to better, or at least the possibility of it, that requires us confronting certain situations and the emotions that come with confrontation we are afraid of. Therefore, we do absolutely nothing. Every time you confront a situation, you address something head on, you become more comfortable than last time. It builds confidence. Point number three, being clear about what you want. This is a cousin to point number two. Often we are indirect about how we want things. Then things don't go the way that we want. We get upset, disappointed, but we never said anything. So what the hell do you expect? There is a time in life to be indirect. There is a skill of reading between the lines that some people have, but not everybody has it. Being direct is also a skill. It's a tool that's nice to have in your toolbox, if for no other reason, because your use of it will allow you to separate yourself from other people who fear using it or don't have it. And you can start using it against people to get what you want more easily. And the fact is, people, life is competitive. If you're not willing to use the skills that you have against people who don't have those skills, then you better get comfortable settling for less than what you want. That's just the truth. Point number four, asking better questions. This is huge for the purpose-seeking person or the business-minded individual or anyone who feels lost in your life or lost in your work. The starting point of being found in life is asking better questions. The questions determine the answer. So if you're asking the wrong question, doesn't matter the answer. It will lead to the wrong destination. Asking better questions requires insight, which is understanding of a specific cause and effect within a specific context. Many people have no insight into anything in their lives, just a bunch of random information that applies not to their specific context. No wonder they are where they are. Now let's talk about what's going on in the game group. In the game group, of course, we've been talking about insight. I've been talking about it damn near every episode of this podcast recently because it's a very important topic. Now, if all I was offering you was more information, then you wouldn't need to hear from me because you can get it anywhere. Maybe you would choose me. Maybe you choose other 2,000 people out there who are offering you information on certain topics. So what I like to give, even on the episodes of this podcast, is insight. I want to cause you to think a little bit differently about topics that maybe you've considered before, maybe you've heard about before, maybe you've talked about yourself before, but I want you to think about them differently. I want to give you some ideas that you may call counterintuitive, some things that you never even considered, maybe some things that are the exact opposite of what you thought they were before, but I'm going to explain why and how they apply to your life, and then you can go apply them and see how they work. I think I've been doing that for over 1,100 episodes of this podcast. If I'm accurate, if I'm wrong, you can let me know. But in the gang group, in the forum, you can ask any question, any challenge, anything that you're dealing with. I will address it. I will work with you, and we will make sure that challenge gets addressed and that some action steps come out of it so you can find out where the issue is, what needs to be addressed, and what could possibly be changed. In the gang group, of course, you have every episode of the Work On Your Game podcast. You got a bunch of courses that are free access to you. We charge for the outsiders, but the insiders, you don't have to pay for them at all. They come straight to you. There's a whole bunch of other things going on in the gang group, including the masterclass videos where I go deep, give you deep dives and roadmaps into actually applying the stuff that I talk about here on the Work On Your Game podcast. Not just the what, but also the why and the how of it. And I ain't going to say too much more about the gang group. We're going to leave it at that today. Go to dreallday.com/gang group to get more information on it, to join the gang group. Listen, 52 cents per episode. Even if all you got was the Work On Your Game podcast, if I stripped the game group down and all you got was this podcast for 52 cents per episode, is it worth it? If it's not, then I don't know how the hell you made it through 30 minutes of this podcast. I have no idea. I have nothing for you. But that's at dreallday.com/gamegroup. Again, that's the game group membership. Work on your game. Dre all day. You just listened to an entire episode of my podcast. If you've been getting value from this podcast, the 1,000+ episodes that I've been putting out, or this is just your first one, please go to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a review of my show. It helps me out. It helps the audience out so they know what kind of show this is before they listen to it, if they want to kind of get a taste for it before they commit to listening. And it lets me know that I'm giving value to you every single day on this podcast. So anywhere you can leave a review, please go leave a review. Thank you. I appreciate it a lot. I'll see you in tomorrow's episode. Work on your game.